they're not for me. I don't like to party, I don't like to sleep. Having a good time is not my cup of tea. No, I don't care for much at all, but there is one thing that I'm all for.
G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman Podcast. I'm your host, Uncle Dan, finally back in studio after what has been one motherfucking hectic ass month. I tell you what, people, we have gone through the fucking ringer and back again. I've lost two cars, fucking almost lost my goddamn life, but that's another fucking story. Lots and lots to talk about today. Not so much beer news, so to speak, but I am going to do my yearly podcast roundup and sort of have a bit of a chat about some of the great podcasts that are out there, some of the great ones that have started up, as well as go into a bit more depth about my own second podcast that I'm coming up because I'm a conceited asshole. So where to begin? Look, before we get into that, I think what we're going to do first of all is a bit of business. Yes, a bit of business. So a couple of weeks back, I was contacted by the man behind the Grizzly Beard, Grizzly Jack Beard Brush. Now, this is a new product that hasn't even hit the market yet. It is in the middle of a Kickstarter campaign, which I'm gonna have to create a bit of a link dump for this episode in the show notes here. So if you want to find anything that I have been talking about this episode, just look at the show notes and follow the link from there. So Mr. Jack has kindly sent through a sample of his beard brush for me to have a bit of a play with, have a bit of a fuck around with, give it a go, and share my thoughts with it. So look, now we here, you know, we don't like to shit on criticism, but by the same token, if we do find something that we really do enjoy, we sing its praises from the treetops. And I got to tell you, people, this brush is mint. Fucking where to begin, man? So, okay, so a bit of information about the guy himself. He's been in the hairbrush sort of industry, I suppose you'd call it, for about 10 years or so now. And having a finely groomed beard himself and having many bearded friends, he discovered that one of the main complaints amongst his bearded friends was not having a decent brush. Now, we all got our own little ways and methods and rituals, I suppose, when it comes to taming the face mane as it is. But he a lot of the common complaints are there, of course, so you know, you got a lot of problem with a lot of products with being a rather pulley sort of beard or brush, or just not being able to get right through into some thicker beards, having a bit of problem with tangles without trying to rip, you know, pardon, ripping great big clumps of fucking hair out, and you know, just generally not having one product that can seem to do everything. I myself have actually, before this brush, used three different brushes, two combs and a boar bristle brush, which of course is in just about every bearded man's arsenal at one stage or another. So listen, there is a video on the Kickstarter explaining what he is all about. All I can tell you is that on the Kickstarter, he is looking for about $15,000 to get started. It's going to start with three different products, a Militia brush, a Wrangle comb, and a Traveler comb. Now, of course, these things here, this is his words, not mine, of course. It's for any beard style or thickness or anything like that. The teeth on both the beards and the combs are flexible and rounded, so they're not so stiff. And they've got the nice little round knobs, which help with the tangles and make it a bit gentle. It also helps with massaging, cutting down pain, detangling, helps with the styling and the volume. They're anti-static and they're barber approved. Now, if you have a look on his Kickstarter page, there is quite a lot of endorsements by quite a lot of people out there in the bearding community, a couple of beard companies, a couple of beard groups. a few barbers as well. Now, look, down to the thing itself, what I really like about this, especially with the brush, is it fits rather well in your hand. It's got a nice little curve sort of design to it. It's one of those ones you sort of grab, not by handle, but by the brush itself. And the bristles themselves, the teeth on this brush are just fucking fantastic. Now, one of the brushes I do use sometimes is a similar sort of thing. You know, it's got the flexible plastic teeth on them with the little rounded knob at the end of it. Unlike those, these appear to be one full piece instead of having like a bit of being dipped in something to get that little bulb at the end, which really does help down with detangling, as well as sort of helping make sure nothing sort of catches or jags or nags or anything like that. As compared to a standard sort of hairbrush, which only has about 200 bristles, the Grizzly Jack brush has about 316, with these combs as well having three rows of bristles with twice as many teeth as your standard comb. I suppose having three rows helps with that. Look, man, I've got to be honest with you. I found this brush to be fucking rather superb. It is, in fact, superseded most of my other, all my other things on a daily basis. Like if I'm trying to, you know, really pretty myself up, I might go to give everything a bit of a going over with the ball bristle brush, just because it does help with those surface wire fucking wild hairs that you seem to get, especially if you've got a crazy sort of ginger beard like myself. But all in all, man, look, I'm going to be getting myself a couple of these, one to throw in the car, and one to go on my travelling kit, because I tell you what, man, I'm not even fucking kidding around. This has taken over three different fucking, you know, two different combs and a brush, and I use it every day. I use it absolutely every day. It's become my new favourite fucking brush, and by all means, you need to look it up. You can search on the Google, Kickstarter Grizzly Jack. He's got about 39 at time of recording, so probably 34 or 35 days left of the campaign before it ends. He's looking for about $15,000, and he's got at the time of recording a bit over 5.5. So he's getting there, and this is a campaign that will not go ahead unless all funding has been reached. So I highly, highly recommend you all go out there and swing some dollars his way. He's got a number of different rewards. I mean, you get the brush or the comb, or the brush and the comb with every reward. So it's well worth looking into. And for the international customers, i.e. everybody who doesn't live in the States, his shipping is a little bit high, but that is mainly because he ships everything with FedEx. And I shit you not, 3 days later, you've got it. You know, I live in the middle of fucking some fucking armpit of Queensland in Australia, and from the time I sent my address through to the time I got it was literally 3 fucking days, which is damn near fucking unheard of, you know what I mean? Especially where I live, it takes me fucking 2 days to get shit from Brisbane to fucking where I am most of the time. So, you know, it's worth the extra fucking bit of dosh for that freight, because you do get it in a quick and timely fucking fashion. So that's Grizzly Jack. And Grizzly Jack. So go ahead, find him on the Kickstarter, find him on the Facebook, find him on the Instagram, find him on the Twitter, I do believe. And tell him Dan from, Drunkle Dan from fucking the Drunken Beersman said g'day. Because, you know, why not? Let him know who fucking sent you. So that's my big bit of business out of the road. I just wanted to really touch on that. Because, and he didn't ask me to say anything about it on the podcast or on the website for that matter, but I tell you what, I love getting behind products that are fucking really good, really worth it, and I tell you what, I put the Drunken Beardsman stamp of approval on this fucking brush, because my God, I've honestly gone from spending about 15 minutes a fucking day to, you know, 3 or 4 fucking brushing me fucking beard, which is amazing, considering, you know, one reason why a lot of people stop shaving is because it takes so fucking long, which is kind of negated once you get a bit of length, and if you have a bit of a thick fucking wild beard, it becomes quite a involved little process to get it looking all nice and neat and schmick looking. So yeah, that definitely go ahead, check that out, Grizzly Jack on the Instas, and go have a look. Yeah, no, for sure. So, like I said at the top, this week we're going to be looking at some podcasts that I listen to. I've had a couple that have started that I've really got getting into. I've found a couple that are a couple of older ones that I really like it. And just in general, just touch on some of my favourites because, you know, why the fuck not? Where to begin? Let's go with a couple of new podcasts that I've found. First one I'm going to talk about straight off the top of the bat is The Beard Caster. Now, when we started The Drunken Beardsman, one of the reasons why we started podcasting in general was just because we liked podcasts and all that sort of stuff. And as we sort of progressed along the path a bit after, you know, the first probably dozen episodes or so, we thought we'd talk about the things that we really enjoy, that is booze and, of course, beards. Now, at the time, we were the only solely sort of beard-related podcast out there, and it's nice to see, especially sort of as we're starting to hit the cusp of, you know, peak beard, where finally the fucking hipster population is going to migrate off to some other new, different, fuck-knuckle bloody fad that they're going to be too cool to fucking try and let anybody else share and then move away, you know, after a period of fucking time. It's was created by a guy named Scott Sikora. Sorry if I fucking mangled your name, dude. I'm a couple sheets of the wind and it's quite late. He's only about 7 episodes in at the moment. Basically, it is similar in our podcast in the vein that it is wholly and solely about beards. But I mean, I'll tell you, that's where the similarities really end. He talks, he has interviews every single week with somebody involved in either the hairdressing or the beard community, whether they're competitors, whether they're, you know, fucking sport riders or friggin' part of beard clubs or something along those sort of lines, and likes to sort of give a bit of general feedback on what's happening out there in the bearding world. Now, it is a, it's a very good fucking show. Like, he's still in its infancy, and I mean, God knows, you go back and listen to our first few episodes, how rough as all fucking get out. But I mean, it's well worth the listen to. Scott's got a very good fucking cadence with speaking. He's, speaks nice and slow, so I know that's a problem I have myself sometimes, is I get a bit of a motor mouth happening. And he's a friendly American, and we all love friendly Americans, let's face it. It's the assholes we don't like. But by all means, go check it out. It is The Beard Caster. You can find that at thebeardcaster.com. That's thebeardcaster.com. And fucking go along and say good day and give it a little download. I promise you will not be disappointed if you're into the beards. What else did I fucking find recently? Now, this podcast, a couple of episodes, is a little bit aged to it now. I think it started the end of last year, maybe even the start of this year, and it is called The Hindsight. Now, back when I was a wee lad, there was a series of books that was right up there in popularity, I suppose, with Goosebumps, by the name of The Animorphs. It's basically the conceit of this whole series, written by K.A. Applegate, and goes written by a bunch of other fucking people towards the end, is 5 kids come across a crashed fucking alien spaceship and get given the power to absorb the DNA and morph into fucking animals in the fight against an alien and a separate alien invasion by a bunch of slugs called the Yerks. Now, I absolutely loved these books as a fucking kid. And because I'm such a fucking bookworm, and because I like my nostalgia, I thought, fuck it, I'll give it a go. It's done by two lovely ladies whose names escape me just at the fucking moment. But it's a really good episode. They basically deconstruct one book per episode. It's a fortnightly podcast, so once a fortnight, 2 a month, with various special little episodes. I think they're about 15 in, I think they're in 11 books in at the moment, so It's also well worth going to have a look there. The girls have got a very good little rapport going. They're very funny. And it sort of makes you realize, you know, because they go and they break it down a bit, and you sort of realize that there was some stuff going on underneath the fucking veneer of this young adult novel series that really make it enjoyable as an adult to read as well. So that is the Hindsight Podcast. And you can track them down on the Twitter, the Reddit, the Tumblr, the fucking iTunes, Stitcher, all that sort of shit, podcatcher of your choice. Another one that's been going now for a couple of months, but is a little bit more spodratic, I suppose you'd call it, is Goosebuds. Now, Goosebuds is three friends who absolutely love pulling the piss, taking little digs at R.L. Stine's series Goosebumps. Same basic jazz. They sort of break down the plot of the novels, and much hilarity ensures. A few 9/11 jokes, which is always fucking funny, especially if you've got a sick, twisted sense of humour like I do. And, I mean, the boys seem to know what they're doing. You know, you can tell there's a lot of love there for the series and for R.L. Stine, no matter how much they like to rag on him. I think they're book 8 or 9 in at the moment. It's definitely worth getting into. Check them out. They're on, you know, all the podcatcher apps of your choice. They have a Reddit page, which is quite funny to read sometimes. And a rarely used fucking Twitter account. So go ahead and check them out as well. Now, let's see, what else? Gotta love their drink breaks. Another one that I quite enjoy, of course, is Schmoes. No, this is where I get most of my fucking movie news from, to be perfectly honest with you. They used to have a really good website, but it's pretty sure now it's defunct. But it's basically two guys with a revolving cast of characters by the name of Christian Harloff and Mark Ellis. They're two comedians. They're funny as fucking fuck. They love their movies. They know their shit. They've been going now for, 6 or 7 fucking years. And they've just relaunched what they're calling their Phase 6 of the podcast. Basically, every time they've got to move studio and they give the show a bit of a revamp, they shut down for a month or two and restart it. Now, listen, there's a great cast of characters that come with this show, and it's a weekly podcast, and I highly, highly, highly recommend you go out there and watch it or listen to it. You can find them on the YouTubes as well as the iTunes if you aren't listening already. Pardon me, fuck. Another podcast that I really want to shine a light on is Super the Hardest. Now, I've been listening to Super the Hardest for about 3 or 4 years now, back when it was Drunken Gamers Radio. Basically, it's three Minnesotan men, John, Mo, and Dave Hilton, and they basically just like their craft beer and have a bit of a chat and have a bit of a whinge. It's basically just three friends shooting the shit. And sometimes getting a little bit deep, playing some records, pulling the shit out of Republicans when and where they can, and reading casual counter ads from Craigslist, which is always fun and fucked up to listen to, I suppose. That's Super the Hardest. You can find them on the Twitter, find them on the iTunes, the Stitcher, or at their website, mojomanus.com. Of course, everybody, another one I like to listen to every week, I cannot go without fail, is of course Hollywood Babylon. That's the Kevin Smith, Ralph Garman joint. Basically, they like to sit there and look at, do some impressions and have a look at some of the entertainment news from the previous week. Funny as fuck. Once again, Ralph Garman, the man of at least a dozen voices, is absolutely fucking hilarious. Kevin Smith is at his stone of best in this show. They both seem to just really relax, enjoy, and have fun. And because Kevin Smith isn't with another fucking stoner, you don't have to spend 40 minutes of hearing him fucking giggle like a dick. In saying that, we love Kevin Smith, of course. He's great. We love you, Kev. What else? Another podcast that I like to listen to a fair bit is, of course, Penn's Sunday School. Now, Penn of Penn and Teller has a weekly show that airs every Sunday, that gets released every Monday. Yeah, every Monday afternoon, at least in Australia anyway. And Now, Penn is an outspoken atheist and a little bit of a skeptic. So him, Michael Godeau, the crazy juggler, and Matt Donnelly sit down and they just talk about sort of whatever. There's an issue or two that they'll talk about throughout the week, what's going on with Penn or something that's happened in the world. And it's funny without really meaning to be funny. It's very insightful, pretty deep. And if you're an atheist or you're sort of on the road to being an atheist, it's definitely worth one checking out. Or even if you have questions about atheism and what atheists are like, it's a very, very good fucking show with some great fucking interviews from time to time. And I mean, Penn Jillette is just a fucking mad genius. So definitely go along and check out Penn's Sunday School. Of course, you've got the Nerdist, but I mean, I think every nerd out there or everybody who's ever heard of podcasts already listens to the Nerdist. So that's Chris Hardwick's joint, which is fucking great. They've recently dropped it back from 3 a week to 1 a week or 2 a week. 1 a week, I think. You know, go ahead and check that out, of course. Welcome to Night Vale is another one I've recently picked up that's quite good. It's this weird sort of non-sequitur-filled, crazy-ass fucking show that sort of takes the form of a radio broadcast that details the happenings of Night Vale, a little mountain fucking, a little desert town with all sorts of fucked up shit like alien abductions, angels, the men in black, and all sorts of conspiracy theories thrown into one fucking solid fucking show. Very, very strange. It's not one that you can just sort of put on in the background while you're fucking around. You sort of got to listen to it, which I quite enjoy from time to time. And of course, Geek Speak. I would be remiss without mentioning Geek Speak AU. Now, this is about the only other Australian podcast I listen to on a regular basis. I listen to Geek Squad or some fucking other thing, Nerd Rage or whatever the fuck it is. Anyway, Geek Speak is Todd Bailey and Wade Copson. Now, they're both Toowoomba boys, which is only just down the fucking road from where I live. It's one of the very few Australian shows that is consistently good when they do post an episode, which isn't all that fucking regularly, at least anymore. Definitely go ahead and check them out. You can find them on the YouTubes or the Facebook at Geekspeak AU, but of course you'll find the link down below in the show notes. And I mean, there are fucking tons more out there. That's just a few of my more favorite podcasts, the ones that I have to listen to every fucking week or every fortnight, depending on when they come out. Every time I see an episode, I've got to go download it and listen to it. One more that I'll give as a special mention is the Geeks vs. Nerds podcast. Now, this is a debate-style show where they'll pick two different things from popular culture, and they'll pit them against each other. For example, what's a good example? What am I listening to at the moment? I'm listening to Bilbo Baggins versus Arthur Dent. Who makes the better unwilling traveler? So it's shit like that. The audio quality is not the best at times, but I mean, the debates themselves are fucking hilarious to listen to, and it's fun just listening to fellow nerds rage the fuck out. You know what I mean? it really is a lot of fucking fun to listen to. So check them out for sure. Like I said, the links for all these shows are going to be in the show notes below. I apologize if I am speaking rather fast tonight. It is rather late and I just felt the need to get something out. It has been a while. Like I said, I was in a pretty severe car accident a couple of weeks ago that sort of put my shit right in fucking check. I tell you what, people, make sure you look where you're fucking going so you don't, you know, run into a car full of fucking kids and a very big bearded bloke who might just rip your fucking head off, because I'm telling you what, cunts, man. Doubled up the car I borrowed, fucking, it fucking shat itself about 5 days later. So it's been a fun fucking couple of weeks. Like I said, going to be a very, very short episode. Although one other thing I would be remiss without talking about is our bids and focus for this week. Now, this week, we're going to delve right back into our bids and focus. I'm going to go a little bit out of order this time, just because, you know, fuck it, why not? I can. So this week, we're going to be looking at the story of Mick the Bull Wallage. Now, Mick Wallage is a British beardsman, quite fucking successful in the fucking involved in the fucking scene over there. He's also a professional beard competitor. And I thought his story was rather inspirational. So he hails from Derbyshire in the UK. And you can also find him on the fucking Facebook at Michael John Ball Wallage. Now, this is a story that sort of proves that bearding can really make a serious difference in someone's life. This story is one of those that make up the crux of the reason behind Beards and Focus. It's one that really does show that the men behind Epic Beards are as varied and diverse with journeys that scream to be shared. So this is this is Michael's story in Michael's words. I suppose my journey into beardom started about 1 p.m. on the 23rd of July 2004, when I was involved in a very serious accident. The accident changed my life forever and left me disabled, jobless, and in a very dark place mentally. Prior to the accident, I was a very fit guy who lived for the gym. I worked as a HGV driver for TNT during the week and as a doorman at various pubs and clubs in the local area. I'd even competed in a couple of bodybuilding competitions, strutting my stuff in a pair of swimming trunks and painted a lovely shade of brown. My legs were badly smashed, the left leg bearing the brunt of the impact being broken in 13 places. Initially, there was talk of amputation, but with the help of some great orthopedic surgeons and the limb reconstruction unit, over the course of the next few years and several major operations, my leg was saved. While physically the scars healed, mentally I was in a very bad place. The body I worked so hard for ballooned. I was no longer able to drive a truck or go to the gym. I sat in front of the TV eating morphine like Smarties and getting more and more depressed. I'd even contemplated suicide at one point. The TV was my life, and it was anything to break the monotony. I stumbled across a program called Whisker Wars. That was the beginning. I can still do that, I thought to myself. I joined a couple of Facebook groups, then the British Beard Club, and planned to enter my first competition, the British Championships that were being held that year in Brighton. I set about finding a suitable show-stopping outfit for the event. 16 years of bodybuilding and a few years of being a couch potato meant it wasn't going to be easy, but with the help of a local seamstress, we cobbled together a reasonably good copy of the clothes worn by the fictional quintessential English gentleman, John Bull. Well, things didn't go entirely to plan, and I never made it to the competition in Brighton, but I was determined I was going to do this and entered the Wessex Beardsman event down in Yeovil, Somerset. Now, we've actually covered that event. The sideburn mutton chop category was well patronised. Lo and behold, the first guy we bumped into was a reigning British chops champion, Mick Bates. I knew my facial fuzz was coming on well, but I never expected what was about to happen. I was nervous. No, nervous wasn't the word. I was shitting myself. I had some body issues. From the extrovert who strutted around posing in trunks to a mouse literally shaking outside the venue, a quick pep talk from Mrs. Wallage and the event compere Muriel Lavender and the monster that is Michael John Bull Wallage was created. I went and won Best Chops in my very first competition. From there, my confidence grew and grew. I went on to win Best Partial Beard at the FBC Beard of the Year, Best Partial Beard and Best Overall Beard at the Collett Park Beard of the Year, Best Partial Beard at the Yorkshire Beard of the Year 2014, Best Partial Beard at Beard Fest Liverpool, the list goes on and on. I placed 8th in my first World Championships in Stuttgart and last year took the British Championships in Bath. I took the Sideburn Mutton Chop title. At the time of writing this article, which was the start of last year, I've just returned from the 2015 Yorkshire Beard of the Year, where I took the best partial title the year before. I've successfully defended that title and went on to take the overall title Yorkshire Beard of the Year. I've been very lucky. I've been helped along the way by some great sponsors who help out with travel costs and beard care products. Without them, I wouldn't be able to do what I've done. Thank you for your support, Dapper Dan and Mariner Jack. And last, but definitely not least, those great guys at Beardalyzer. As for my plans for the rest of this year, July scissors off to the USA to take part in Whisker Mania being held by the Derby City Whisker Club in Louisville, Kentucky. And in October, it's off to Liegang, Austria for the World Championships. I'm going to be standing on the stage with some of those very same people who have inspired me in the dark times. Who would have believed it? As they often say, every cloud has a silver lining. From the grips of suicidal thought to British champion, travelling the world and, well, who knows where it'll end. I'm just enjoying the ride. I really do owe my life to my beard. Beard on, folks. So that was Mr. Fucking Wallage, a truly inspirational fucking story that any man would be proud to fucking share and have happen to themselves, aside from the nasty fucking car accident. It just goes to show you, people, a beard is more than just whiskers or hipsters. A beard can really make a fucking difference. So that's going to be the show this week. Like I said, just a real quick fucking show, just to sort of, you know, fucking put something out there, let people know what's going on. I really did want to talk about the Beardcaster and the Grizzly Jack Beard Brush. See, this is what I mean, mate. It's fucking all over the place. But before I do go, I do want to touch on and close out with a song by the legend Ross Hennifer. Now, who's Ross Hennifer, I hear you ask? Ross Hennifer was the guitarist from the awesome Aussie band Daddy Cool. Now last year it was publicly announced that he'd been diagnosed with cancer. Now despite this, he'd actually continued to keep playing right up until his death just the other week. And he actually launched an album just last month called Hannah. Now, Hennifer formed Daddy Cool with vocalist Ross Wilson after originally playing together in the Melbourne band The Pink Finks in 1965. In between, the pair also played in The Party Machine and Sons of the Vegetal Mother. Ross Wilson has come out and said he's profoundly sad about the passing of his lifelong friend and musical colleague. "We were so lucky to find each other in the wilds of 1960s suburban Melbourne," he said. "He was like my little brother. We grew up together in life and in music. He truly was one of a kind." So the Daddy Cool only released two albums, one in 71, which had the classic hits, you know, Eagle Rock, Come Back Again, Bomb Bomb, Hi Honey Ho, and of course, Daddy Who, Daddy Cool. They released a second album in 1972, and by August of 1972, after doing a US tour, they had split up and gone their own ways. Now, the band would go on to play a few more times over the years before finally coming together one last time for a Tsunami benefit concert in 2005 when they were inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame in 2006. So, I don't know, man. Daddy Cool was a band that fucking was in my house a lot when I was growing up, and the dude was fucking pretty crazy when you think about it, but to close it out, I'm going to play a song off his new album, and I'm going to leave you to it. You can find me on all the social medias at The Drunk with Dan. You can find us at thedrunkenbizman.com, of course. You can find us on the Podbean, the iTunes, the Stitcher, sort of your various podcatchers of your choice. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is great to be sitting back behind a microphone. Sorry for taking so fucking long to get around to it, but, you know, life fucking happens, and what can you do? So until the same drunk time on the same bearded channel, I'm Drunkle Dan saying, stay bearded and beautiful, people.
Now listen, who is turn around once and we'll do the eagle eye.